go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 92 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Merry Christmas week to all of you. And to celebrate, I am going to have some eggnog. With that long pause right there. And actually, if you are a fan of Dave Attell, eggnog is actually elf cum. If you don't know the reference, go listen to Dave Attell's comedy album, Skanks for the Memories. It is the best comedy album of all time. You will never laugh as hard or as often as you will listening to that album as I try to get all that phlegm from that elf cum down my throat. Wow, I'm going to have to clip that and put that in the opening. I actually advise all of you, turn off episode 92 of Verbal Graffiti right now and go listen to Dave Attell's, I believe it's his first comedy album, Skanks for the Memories. It is much funnier than anything I've done in the previous 91 episodes. And that would be all the episodes of Verbal Graffiti. And that album actually almost made me quit comedy. Not sure if I mentioned this before on Verbal Graffiti, but my first 6 months of comedy were, I was not natural. I was not doing well. I was not getting many laughs. It took till my 10th time on stage to get a real laugh. I was struggling. I was fumbling, and I was like, this is my dream. I want to be a stand-up comedian. I was in a very dark spot because this was all I ever wanted to do in life was to be a stand-up comedian, to make a living telling dick jokes on stage. And about 6 months in to my dream, I realized, oh, I'm not any good at this. I'm not going to fulfill my dream. I need to figure out something else to do with my life. And I thought, well, hey, be mad, listen to a comedian you like, and maybe you'll learn something from him or her. So that's what I did. I listened to Dave Attell's Skanks for the Memories, first time I've ever heard the album. I laughed so hard, and I literally peed myself. It made me almost quit comedy on the spot because I listened to that album, and immediately I realized, oh, I can't be that funny. I am not Dave Attell funny. I am not on that level. And it nearly broke me. It gave me so much joy, the most joy I've ever had listening to stand-up, and it almost broke my dream. That's stand-up comedy for you. Thankfully, I stuck with it. Before I got in front of the camera and the mic right now, I was plucking my eyebrows, as I often do. I pluck my eyebrows on Wednesdays, and Wednesdays are when I film these episodes. And it made me think. Every time I pluck my eyebrows or anything on my face, I lose any confidence that I have. I don't know how. I am of the belief now that if you have a double-sided mirror, what I mean by that, I'm not really sure the name of these mirrors. Let me describe it. You have these round mirrors. On one side, it's a mirror. It's just a normal mirror. You see yourself. But then you flip it over, and on the other side, there's also a mirror, but it's three times or 50% as strong. So you can get like an up-close view magnifying glass of your face. And every time I do this, I see all the pores and the blackheads on my nose and in my like right above my eyebrows and on my cheeks. And I see all the blemishes. And it's so clear as day in this magnifying glass. No pun intended, because that is my last name, Glass. I'm not sure if that's a pun or not. But I look at every time I turn the stronger mirror to pluck my eyebrows, I need to get a facial. Like I know the reason why I don't get a facial is because it's kind of gay. It's kind of gay. Now, I have nothing wrong with the gay community. We love the gays here at Verbal Graffiti. But when you go to tell the boys, like, what do you do today? Like, oh, I got a facial. Immediately, they're going to say, oh, you took a hot one to the face from some guy, because that's what we think of a facial as a lowbrow heterosexual male, but no, I need to get a facial because these blackheads that I have on my nose and my cheeks, they're literally popping out. I don't know how anyone could look at me in the eye without just fix that. Fix those black things, but popping out of your pores, blocking the airway. That's one thing. So that is one thing. And also another thing I keep meaning to do this week, or probably the last couple weeks, is my AirPods. I have the AirPods Pro. So they have the little rubber things that they block, that have noise canceling, but all my earwax gets stuck in there. So every time I take them out, I look inside the AirPod and I see my earwax building up. And the AirPods are white, but they're almost now brown, golden-like because I have so much earwax. So I'm just, the double side mirror where I see all the blackheads and then the AirPods that I'm able to see all the earwax that my ears are shooting out, it destroys any kind of confidence I have. Any kind of confidence I have is shot with these mirrors and AirPods. And I know a lot of people have these mirrors and AirPods. And any of you who have these and still are confident, how do you do it? How are you able to keep that self-esteem when you see those blemishes on your face in that mirror and you look at your AirPods and you see the wax coming from them and you think, wait, there was somebody who licked my ear. They like to lick my ear. And then they see all that wax. Oh, I have my confidence. Going into this day was probably at an 87. I was at a BB+ because I'm on PTO this week. Shave it all till the end of the year. So I was feeling high. As soon as I flipped that mirror over, though, I'm at a point, self-esteem number, where like I need to get a high grade on a final exam to pass this semester, get a passing grade. So, you know, it's below. You know, I'm in the mid-50s, and I really need to come through with the final exam to improve my self-esteem. You know, I had something else I wanted to discuss, but I think we've discussed my face enough. We'll save that other topic till segment 2 of 92. Let's get into something I found on Reddit. This comes from a subreddit called No Stupid Questions. We'll see about that. Why do Americans eat by themselves in their cars in the parking lot? As an Asian immigrant, I find it very odd to see my Americans, mostly white, co-workers eating by themselves in their cars in the parking lot during lunch times. I've asked them to join my lunch group at the picnic tables, but they declined with a straight face. Do most Americans not like to socialize during their lunch break? That last statement you made, do most Americans not like to talk to their other coworkers during their lunch break? Absolutely, 100%. But I want to focus more on the first part of your post where you mentioned Americans eating in their cars alone. That was something I didn't know that was an American thing. I didn't know that was unique to the USA till you wrote it here as the Asian immigrant you are. But now that I'm thinking about it, it is common for us Americans to eat alone in our cars. In actuality, the more I think about it, the B-man's thinking right now, that might be the most American thing Americans do is eat a quarter pounder from McDonald's in our car alone while we're on lunch break to avoid all our coworkers. And as for you, you're an Asian immigrant, first generation. The reason why maybe your coworkers don't want to associate with you by the picnic table is because you might still have that Asian stink on you. Not to be rude, but this is going to be very rude. Generally, first generation, straight off the boat, right off the airplane. They have that. There's an Asian scent that you have that some of us Americans, white Americans, find off-putting. It's not the, you know, we wouldn't buy a candle that was first generation Asian scent. That's not, it's not the smell we want, you know, during our lunch hours. We prefer some Italian food, but no, so that's actually me. Like I've always been drawn to Asian women, but not first generation Asian. I like second, third, fourth generation Asian American because they still have that beautiful Asian look with the great olive skin, but that original scent it goes away more so each generation. If that makes sense. Wow, I am very, very. I gotta stop saying I'm racist on Verbal Graffiti. That may be my downfall. Is I keep admitting my racism. But no. But back to you. And back to eating in the car. Have you seen, you're an Asian immigrant, clearly you see how Americans look compared to everybody else in the world, especially people from Asia who tend to be, at least from what I hear, because I'm uncultured and have never really traveled outside the United States, except for Turcos and Caicos, whatever that country is or island is for a few days. But other than that, I've never been outside the United States, so I'm uncultured. But I hear that the people in Asia are very slim and healthy. But you've been here in America, and you really can't blame Americans for wanting to escape from the rest of Americans. Because Americans, I mean, you see it. You're working in America now. You see it. The average Americans, how much? 250 a You know, if you're a male, your average weight's probably 250 pounds, 275 pounds maybe. Every American has gingivitis, so much so that you can see the tartar on the teeth is visible, and not just the back ones. Like, they'll have tartar on the bottom row and even on the top row, like in the front teeth. The easiest ones is to brush, because Americans don't brush their teeth because we don't care about our health. You're lucky if you have coworkers who wear deodorant, yeah, but they have gingivitis, they're 250 pounds, they don't pluck their facial hair, so they have hair coming out of their ears and their nose, and you probably have a female coworker who's overweight and has a little bit of a goatee because she doesn't, get rid of the hair on her chin. Have you seen the fashion in America? The fact that I am wearing a vest, people will call that, anytime I wear this vest out in public, people comment on it, a positive and some negative, like, why the fuck are you wearing a vest? They're like, I'm sorry, everyone else is American. Everyone you work with is probably looks like they do their shopping at Goodwill. Like, not even like the good Goodwills, but the Goodwills in the bad neighborhoods, that's where they're doing their shopping. Nobody has any sense of style in America. Guys in America, they sag their pants so much that you can see their butt crack, and you could see the butt crack pubic hair. That's how bad we are with finding fit pants, because they sag down. And nobody in America, we really don't want to associate with other people. This is what happened. Everyone I know, you get a phone call, you press the red button because you don't, people in America, we get upset when people call us on our phone. Like, we physically get upset. It's like, X that, immediately go to voicemail. Please text me. Like, we'll see who called us, and then we'll text them back. Why did you call me? Like, that's how psychotic in the head we are about actually having to pick up phone calls. We're all on antidepressants. I think like 40% of Americans are on some type of antidepressants or SSRIs. We'd rather talk on anonymous online forums using pseudonyms and avatars than talking to actual coworkers that we see every day. And honestly, if you're in the break room on lunch, What are all your coworkers talking about? Like, nobody wants, all anyone at work talks about is what they're watching on Netflix and Hulu. They talk about the weather and they talk about what they made last night. Any type of fun conversation that could be had, HR will put the kibosh on that. Meaning if you have any type of sense of humor, you cannot display that sense of humor in your office or else you'll be terminated very, very quickly. Another reason why the B-man, I don't associate with anybody outside of work hours, and I don't talk to anybody on Teams. That's the chat service we use. It's Americans. We're disgusting. We're disgusting. We have nothing to talk about. Most of us smell. So that's why when we're on our lunch break, we want to get as far away from the office as possible. And since it's only a half hour break, the farthest we could go is to our car to have some McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell or whatever the fuck it is you're having for your lunch. And that's basically it. But there's something peaceful about eating McDonald's in your car in the parking lot of McDonald's. That also says something about McDonald's, how wretched it is on the inside there, that we'd all rather just eat our Happy Meal in the parking lot. And it also speaks to also a lot of Americans hate their families, hate their spouses, are in a dead bedroom type relationship. So the only solace they have during the day, if they're not an alcoholic, is that 20 minutes in the McDonald's parking lot eating by themselves before they have to go home and pretend to love their loved ones. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, hey man, you gotta learn how to be an American or go back to Asia. That's up to you. But hey man, that's the game here in America. I guess you are right. Sometimes it takes an outsider to take a stock of what's going on around your country and call it out to realize what it is we are. Because like me, I'm so invested in this community that is America that sometimes I have my blind spots. And you showed us one, so thank you for that. And thank you for being a fan of Verbal Graffiti. Now, let's go look at some photos. Once again, Merry Christmas to all of you, and may all your Christmases be white. Now, with the B-Man, what I wanted to get to in the beginning of this episode, episode 92, which I got distracted because I was looking at the blemishes on my face, being so self-absorbed like I always am. Ugh, what a terrible character trait I have that I need to work on. Tough to do, though, when you're a stand-up comedian and all you're thinking about is me, me, me. We're working on that, but moving forward. I no longer look in the rearview mirror when I'm driving because I'm no longer looking in the past. I'm looking forward. I am focused on the future. No longer will I look to see what's behind me. That's my life. I don't know, motto. I don't know what the fuck you call it, but anyways, yeah. So what I wanted to talk about is sometimes I'll hear a joke and everyone else will laugh, but I won't laugh because the joke goes over my head because I am ignorant. Sometimes my vocabulary and my knowledge is lacking. Had one moment like this a couple nights ago. This comedian, Corinne, a great comedian. Everybody loves her. She also has double D cup breasts. So that's always a positive times too. But anyway, she was on stage yucking it up, telling jokes, hosting at the Hungry Tiger, having a great set. And she had mentioned, Diva Cup. Diva, D-I-V-A, Diva. When I think of Diva, I think of wrestling, like WWE, the Divas of the World Wrestling Entertainment. But I did not know what a Diva Cup was. She started talking about periods afterwards, after the show. I asked her, what is a Diva Cup? And apparently a Diva Cup is I should know what a Diva Cup is. I should know for many years now, but I don't. It's a thing you use when a period, right? You put it in between your legs to catch the blood. It's literally a cup. Now, I looked it up online on the internet, because the internet's good for looking up things that you don't know about. So they come in different sizes. Now, I'm not, there's like, at least the site I looked at, there's a zero, size zero, size one, size two, depending on how much, how heavy your periods are, how much blood you extract between your legs. Now, I'm not positive if you put the Diva cup in your vagina or just at the opening of it and catch the blood that way. Now, I gotta admit, before I heard of the Diva cup, and if I did not know what the Diva cup was, and you want to bust my balls and make fun of my lack of knowing what a Diva cup is, if you had come up to me and go, yeah, I got a Diva cup at the Beyonce concert or a Rihanna concert, I would assume that was just a drink specific to a Diva singer like Beyonce or Taylor Swift or one of them. You know, when you go to a Yankee game and they'll have you can buy the beer, but if you buy the larger beer, it comes in a special, you know, a plastic glass that you can bring home and use. Same thing with a Diva cup. I thought it'd just be a cup with a Taylor Swift image of her that you could bring home as a memorabilia from the concert. No. It's a female hygiene product. Now, before this week, I thought when it came to periods, you either had a pad or you had a tampon. I did not know a Diva cup was an option. And if there are any other options, I do not know what they are. I just assumed, or not assumed, but I thought you either had a pad or a tampon. Now, I don't know if I am alone thinking this. I probably am. I am with many, many topics. But I've always assumed, like, I kind of judge babes on what hygiene products they use. Now, if you're using a pad, I assume that babe is a prude, that she does not like having items inserted into her vagina. Therefore, she does not like having very much sexual contact. Whereas a babe who uses tampons and shoves the tampon inside of her vagina, that is a woman who is down, DTF, as they say. And I assume you know what that acronym stands for. So yes, pad is for the prudes, tampons are for the floozies, and Diva cup, I don't know what that says, what type of babe uses a Diva cup. One with good aim, I suppose. I don't really know. I probably can YouTube a video to watch how a Diva cup works. I will not do that. I will wait till Christmas dinner and ask the females, the babes in my family, how to use a Diva cup and if they have ever used a Diva cup. And if you think I won't ask that at Christmas dinner when we're celebrating the birth of Christ, you don't know me very well. You don't know the verbal graffiti at all, because I think it might have been maybe the 4th of July when I found out that the umbilical cord is not the penis. And I would discuss that with my entire family. So yeah, the Diva cup. So if you're a babe out there and you're getting a pretty heavy period, and I guess if the pads and the tampons are not working for you, you're overflowing, try a Diva cup. Maybe you'll be able to catch all the blood and the eggs that way. Let's keep it going, huh? Sometimes you learn when you go out instead of watching. Sometimes it's better to go out even when you don't want to go out, because you learn something, like the Diva cup. Whereas if I stayed home and just scroll through my phone and watch something on Netflix or watch a football game, I wouldn't know what a Diva cup is right now. So yeah, go out. Go out to a bar. Meet some strangers. Start a conversation. You learn. Live and learn. All right. This one I found on the subreddit. We're going to discuss something I found on the subreddit for anxiety. A lot of people have that these days. People are out to get you. Venting. They're out for your job. They're out for your character. They're out for your integrity. They're out to put you down. They're out for your wallet. They're out to scam you. They're out to rip you off. They're out to scare you. They're out to control you. So when people tell me no one is out there to get you, to the contrary, many people are out to get me, and to some degree, I think everyone is out to get someone at some point. The older I get, the more I see it. Preach. Preach. I am so with you. I stand up on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial with your megaphone and keep preaching how they're out to get us until the CIA assassinates you. And I will be there on the steps holding out a sign, a neon green, going, yes, the CIA is trying to hold us down. Now, the B-Man, you probably all know this, but I take notes, right? I find these things on Reddit to talk about, to actually have something to talk about on Verbal Graffiti. And before I come here in front of the camera, in front of the microphone, I'll jot down some notes on each one, try to not memorize it, but kind of put all my thoughts together so when I could come here and Verbal Graffiti, I did a bang, bang, bang. I bring the heat, I bring the smoke, I bring the fire, I bring the lava. Lava is a term I've been trying for years to, you know, oh, that's hot or that's fire, that's lava. All right. But I wrote down some notes that I think were so good, and I would not be able to remember them all, or certainly not in the order in which I wrote them, that I'm going to read off my notes, which I usually do not do. But in this case, I really do believe what this lady's preaching right here, where everybody's out to get us, that I want to make sure I don't lose or forget any points that I wrote down. So let's read what I wrote about this post in return. All right. See, this is the beauty of conspiracy theories. I'm going to do both, kind of where I read and then I expand. I pontificate on things that I wrote here as I make all these hand movements. But all right. This is the beauty of conspiracy theories, because you can start any sentence with the word they. That is the key term, they. Start the sentence with the word they, and you can blame them for anything that is wrong with the world at large. Now, who is they? A non-schizophrenic person may pry. They is them. They're the global elites. You know, the lizard people. The 500 wealthiest families going back hundreds of generations. They own the media. They own the CIA. They own the FBI. And every other three-letter agency. They reside in Washington, D.C., London, and the Vatican. They are the unseen, the invisible hand. They're keeping us down. They partake in satanic rituals involving child sacrifice. They are not the Illuminati, because we know about the Illuminati. They are the ones who control the Illuminati. Whoever they are, I hear your message, and I'm in D.C. just holding up that sign with you. Now, who is they? AI is going to take over our jobs. BlackRock is taking our homes. The Fed is robbing our savings account every time they print new money. The corporations, with the help of government oversight, is poisoning our food, making us rely on healthcare that's overpriced and unattainable. They want us reliant on their medication. Doctors are their street dealers. Notice how no doctor prescribes 30 minutes of daily exercise and a dose of vitamin D. Now, funny enough, the B-Man, I take that little shake sound you hear, I take 5,000 IU of vitamin D every day. And you know what I am? You know what Brian Glass, the people's degenerate, the B-Man is? I'm healthy. My throat is clear. Everybody else in my family right now, December 23rd, has a cough. I can't, chest is congested. They're basically the walking dead. My brother-in-law's on steroids because, you know, he had the flu or whatever the fuck it is. Everyone in my family is just, they're hanging on to life by their pinky because none of them take vitamin D. B-Man, I take vitamin D every morning. Look at me. Look at me. I'm an internet celebrity. So, huh? Take vitamin D. Moving along. You go, okay, this is a problem with they, right? You go against their narrative, they'll cancel your bank account and credit cards. Good luck getting your message out when you're banned from every social media platform. Funny how Alex Jones was banned from all the platforms within 48 hours. All of them decided at once to ban him at the same time. Same thing with former President Donald Trump, soon to be president once again. Also, Bernie Sanders, right? 2016 presidential election. All the other Democratic nominees dropped out a few days before Big Tuesday, other than who was the guy who won? Joe Biden. So the DNC conspired to compile all the votes against Bernie Sanders to keep him from getting the Democratic nomination. And I don't even like Bernie Sanders, but that's what they do. All right. They want to tax our carbon footprint to restrict our movement. They want universal online currency and social credit score so that if you act out of line, you're banned from the economy. This is 1984, and we're all the NPCs. They erase our history one statue at a time, one forefather at a time, one judgment at a time, one line in the Constitution at a time. We are ashamed of our past, and it must be eradicated as soon as possible. Innovation in progress is not what they desire. They want power and control. Break down the family unit, religion, and community. Promote abortion and euthanasia. Feminism is a psyop to double the workforce and decrease wages. Illegal immigration is to lower wages, destroy morale and culture. That's been built up over hundreds of years here in America. Social issues like racism and Zionism and the Second Amendment are meant to keep us fighting with each other and distract us from the real enemy, those who control us, them. 15-minute cities, eating bugs, living in non-air-conditioned apartments, unable to travel to another 15-minute city unless you have a high enough credit score, that's what they want. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. So, yeah, I'm there preaching with you. I want to be your spokesperson. I want to be standing behind you when you're at the Lincoln Memorial right before the CIA assassinate you for preaching the truth. And when you get assassinated, I'll duck down and run away, and I'll keep my mouth shut so I can keep my social credit score high and able to speak to the masses because I'm a little pussy bitch like that. Oh, yeah, but I'm with you. They are out to get us. Started long, long time ago. But if you were not, if you didn't take the red pill during COVID, you know, if you think it was good that we kept everyone out of school for a year and all that, and they locked us down and how they looked down upon people who did the unvaccinated. Listen, they're going to try again. So you better wake the fuck up real soon. All right. Enough of that fun stuff out of the way. Let's get to the final segment of episode 92. We are going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by author John Lawrence. We are now on the top of page 51. We'll read two pages together if you are reading along. "I'll have a hamburger and fries," he said, trying to act casual. "Right, honey," she said with an impish grin. She turned back to the door to the kitchen and called the order inside. "Burgers and fries!" Her round, jiggling ass looked spectacular to the young husband, particularly seeing it tightly encased in the shiny white material of her uniform. "You want everything on that?" she asked him, catching him for a moment as he openly admired her body. Yeah, everything," he said, smiling awkwardly. "The works," she called inside. "How about coffee?" Yeah, fine, coffee. As she poured the coffee, Alan found himself completely drawn to her, for she vibrated sensually in excitement with every liquid curve of her body. She put a steaming cup of coffee in front of him and as her breasts jutted out across the counter, it was all he could do to keep from reaching out lustily and grabbing them. Instead, he poured sugar and cream into his coffee and stirred slowly. The waitress leaned against the counter and watched him with a sly smile playing on her lips. "You're new here," Alan said after a silence. "Yeah, my name's Stella. I came in last week to replace the other chick, the older woman, Edna." "You've been waitress long?" "Couple years. I used to live in San Diego, but I shacked up for a while with an actor and he brought me out to this godforsaken place. So I guess I'll be a waitress until I have the bread to split. Say, would you like to hear some music?" "Sure," he answered. She walked to the jukebox and dropped a quarter into it. After a moment, hard, raunchy music came blaring out the speakers. Alan watched, utterly captivated, as the seductive girl began to bump her hips lewdly in time to the music. "I just love good rock music. Makes me want to dance all night. I just love to dance." She glanced at Alan with a suggestive glint in her eyes. "Do you like to dance, I mean?" "Yeah," he said, sensing her double meaning. "Yeah, sometimes." Stella laughed huskily and continued to dance. Inwardly, however, she was excited, for she was as attracted to the young salesman as he was to her. She craved excitement and sex. In fact, she couldn't get enough of it to suit her. In San Diego, she had all the cocks she could handle, but here in this dump of a town, it was a different story. She had thought that working at a truck stop might bring in some good-looking studs from the trucks, but most of them were disappointing, overweight, and boring, like most Americans. Boring. With families they never stopped talking about, but this guy was different. He was different, tough-looking, and handsome. She liked the way his powerful body filled his soiled Levi's and shirt. The young waitress wondered if he had a big cock and if he knew how to use it. Go suck a fat one.